Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. Taking your calls at 801-575-8255 and your text questions at 57500. Next texter, Ton, says they have a new yard. They want to plant raspberries and blackberries again. With the hot summers that we've had recently, would it be better to plant these where they can get some shade? They say in the past few years, the berries in their old yard were in full sun and they were getting burned.
Some varieties of raspberries are extremely susceptible to sun scald. And instead of putting them in the shade, what I would do is just put them in full sun, but get some shade cloth. So you want 20 to 30% shade. That's the grade you're going to use. And you'll need to trellis your raspberries. But if you have trellising up, it's not that hard to put up some additional structure to drape the shade cloth over the top. But that shade cloth, if you're growing yellow raspberries or some of the purple, reddish purple varieties that scorch, it's a game changer.
Okay. And when should they apply iron to raspberries that have iron chlorosis?
In the spring, sometime in mid to late March, they can mix. It'll give you a rate on like Miller Farrah Plus or the Grow More Chelated Iron. It'll give you a rate to apply at, and you just mix it up in 5 gallon buckets and drench along the rows, and then just irrigate it in for 5 or 10 minutes so it penetrates into the soil, or time it with a rainstorm.
Kathy on the line in Holiday. Good morning, Kathy. What was your question?
Usually plant pansies in the fall around the border, and I don't plant them for fall color. I want them to be kind of bursting in the spring. I usually cover them, but I'm wondering if it's too warm. Is there?
No,
I wait
it's not
a
too warm plant.
Go ahead and plant them.
If it's under 80 degrees, they tolerate that just fine. They're perfectly happy.
I mean, will they kind of spend themselves this fall and not be as pretty
no.
in the spring?
Nope. No. You probably, honestly, should have put them in a week or two ago just so they had extra time to root in.
Uh-huh.
But anytime it's below 80 degrees, pansies are just happy.
Okay. So I can plant them now. I cover them usually in the winter.
Yeah.
And then in the spring, they're beautiful if the deer don't get to them.
Yeah,
first.
I mean, Bear Lake is cold enough that a lot of years the pansies up there grow all summer just fine.
Yeah, well, I usually have to put in, it's too much sun later on. But okay, so I'll go down and get them now. And is it better to put some that are really in full bloom? They have both those and then some that are just kind of more
just
buds.
Get your pansies and get them planted. As long as they're not extremely root-bound, you're good.
Okay. All right. Thank you, and have
a
great day.
Thanks,
appreciate
Kathy.
You.
Thanks for your call. Next listener, Ton, wants to know if there's a use for ripe hawthorn berries.
You can make jelly out of them, yes. They were called haw berries. My aunt from Eastern Canada grew up making hawthorn jelly, and it's just one of those things that I think you add a little bit of apple juice and pectin. They're already rich in pectin, but yes, absolutely.
Okay, Andy is on the line in Bountiful. Good morning, Andy. What was your question?
We have some laurel bushes on the north and east of our home. They're about 20 years old. This last summer and recently, some of the branches have actually died. The leaves turned completely dry. And we had to just snip those bushes off, and they're not as good looking after you come in and snip those bushes off. They're getting plenty of water. There's no sign of insect infestation on them. So I'm wondering what the problem is, when I could do to correct that.
Are you seeing any holes in the leaves, almost like someone took a BB gun and shot the leaves?
No, we're not seeing any of that.
Because that would, one thing, maybe look up a fact sheet on shot hole fungus. Because even though it puts holes in the leaves, it gets into the branches. And it is one that can knock, the laurels are very susceptible. But the other thing is maybe worse, and that would be an internal disease to where it may have a fungal disease in the root system or the conductive tissue. And the branches are dying out because of that.
Is there a treatment for that?
No, there's not. Just pruning them out.
So will that eventually kill the bush then completely?
It can, or the bush will wall it off and survive. It maybe is the best answer I can give you.
All right.
If you don't see any more branches dying, then it could be that the plant was able to wall it off and they will recover.
Well, it seems to be more and more dying all the time.
Yeah, you may have an internal rot disease or an internal vascular wilt disease, and eventually you need to take those out. I've noticed that the laurel, you know, the Autolichens laurels and the English laurels, which are the same species, after about 15 to 20 years, they are a lot more susceptible to this. And that seems to be about their usable lifespan. I planted one at an old home. Oh, it's been 15 years ago. And I went and looked at them this fall when I was going to my parents' house, and they're declining.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, Andy, for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says, they put down fall fertilizer October 10th. They're wondering if it's a waste to put down winter fertilizer in November.
Don't put down winterizer. You'll be over-fertilizing your lawn.
Okay, let's go to Jonathan in Harriman. Good morning, Jonathan. What was your question?
Good morning. I have six peach trees in my orchard, and on the lower-hanging peaches, I had some little spots. And I'm wondering if that's the shot hole, the crinium blight, and what do I do for it?
It very well could be. If they were dark-colored spots that kind of turn the skin a little bit leathery, that very well could be crinium. If you saw them infections when they're active, they would have had a purplish-red halo around every spot.
Okay. I don't remember that, but I'll look for that next year.
Yeah, so USU has some fact sheets on shot hole fungus. And it pretty much involves spraying in the fall at 50% leaf drop. So we're getting to that point with the fungicide. And then again, when the petals fall off the trees, that's called shuck split. And you spray again after that. And so those two sprays are going to be critical.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, look up USU's fact sheet on shot hole fungus or crinium blight, and it'll give you the timing.
I'll do it. Appreciate it.
All right, Jonathan, thanks for your call today. Next listener, Ton, says they bought peonies in June, haven't planted them yet. What should they do?
Get them in the ground and plant them. That's the best thing they can do.
Next person would like to know, when is the best time to divide chrysanthemums?
The best time to divide chrysanthemums is in March, so that they have all summer to recover and maybe flower in the fall.
What is the long-distance method of propagation for bindweed and whitetop?
Huh?
They say they understand the underground runners, that they have underground runners, but how do the seeds move for long-distance transfer, as in miles?
They're oftentimes transported in hay. That's one of the main ways it was spread, or is spread, is through hay, but they can travel in the wind. There's all sorts of things. So if you have, you know, if there's a lawn mowing service that doesn't clean their equipment and mows up and then they travel to another lawn, but it's usually things of that nature.
Yeah, they're saying
compost that wasn't heated hot enough.
Almost every bindweed blossom becomes four seeds.
They can, yes.
Wow. That bindweed, it is problematic.
Yes. I mean, if Satan invented a weed just to see how bad he could make bad, this would be one of the candidates.
Yeah, you just have to stay on it. You have to continue to treat it and make sure you get it. Mm-hmm. Hey, but you've done so many videos on this. If someone is still battling bindweed and they need to know what to do, all they need to do is go to the KSL Greenhouse page on YouTube, and you have a couple of videos showing different methods depending on whether they're in the lawn or whether they're in the flower beds.
We do.
All right. We're going to come back with more of your calls and questions. 801-575-8255 is the number to call. You can also text us at 57500. Thank you so much for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse, spending your Saturday morning with us. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning, taking your calls and questions. Next listener, Ton, says they missed the first part of the show, but they would like us to repeat when the last harvest of tomatoes should happen, and do you pick the green ones, and what's the best way to ripen them?
The harvest should happen within the next week or so before we get frost. Once those tomatoes are frozen, you're had. So anything, especially that is lighter green transitioning to yellow or orange, pick those definitely. And you can leave a few of them in just a room at 70 degrees and they will ripen just fine. And the other ones that are still green but sized up, mm-hmm. put them in a box and then cover each layer with newspaper or a couple of layers of paper towels and just stack them in layers and store them at around 55 degrees. And they will store for weeks and weeks.
Weeks and weeks. I put them in my cold storage and they last a long time.
They do. And just pull them out as you need them. And bring up three or four a week, and you can put them on sandwiches or, you know, whatever you need to do with them.
Next listener would like to know, is it too late to transplant a peony?
No, it's not. It's one of those things I'd actually wait until it's dormant before I dug it, though.
Mm-hmm. Next listener, I'm not sure exactly what they mean. They're talking about some big garlic that someone mentioned on the show. They're wondering where they can get big garlic. Do you know what that's about?
We didn't talk about anything this week. There might be elephant garlic.
Okay, so tell us about that. Maybe that is what they're asking about.
It's just one of those unique varieties that you can order online.
Okay, I'm sure this is what they're talking about.
It may be that, and that's where they would order it.
Okay, elephant garlic. Do you have a particular source that you would recommend?
I don't. Just short of looking online, I don't.
Okay. Next listener says they have a very shady porch and they would like to have a potted plant out or two out there. This past summer, though, the grasshoppers ate everything. Any suggestions for plants that would look nice and not appeal to grasshoppers? This is Carol is asking.
I don't know of anything.
I'm sorry, Carol. Oh my gosh, those grasshoppers. Yeah. And if you live in an area that's adjacent to a field or... It's tough, but even on the porch, Tom, don't they know they're supposed to stay off the cement?
Screen the porch. I just don't know.
So there's nothing really you can recommend to her?
No, there's not. I don't have a list of grasshopper-resistant plants, and eventually they'll eat everything if there's enough of them. They do have preferred plants. I know they like the lilacs quite a bit. They love sweet corn, but they eventually get everything.
The deer like the lilacs, too, I found this year. Really kind of made a mess of my lilac bush. And then the contractors did the rest of the lilac in. So we'll be planting a new lilac, not in that same spot. Let's see. What else have we got here? Looks like I've answered all of the, you've answered all of the text questions. One of the things that I had on my mind, still a lot of spurge in my flower bed. Is it too late for me to go out and just spray that and try to kill it? Or should I just wait?
I mean, the damage is mostly done. I would carefully pull it.
Okay, and not worrying about spraying it at this point.
No, because it's an annual and will die within a week.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good news. Maybe, but it's going to reseed in there, isn't it?
It will, and it already has. It already has. And so at this point, pre-emergent next year, hand-pulling the young ones, hoeing them out.
Yeah, this was a particularly bad year for spurge. I don't know exactly what the conditions were for that, but they simply loved every single crevice in my rock patio. All along the flower beds. Yeah, it was very happy.
My park strip, I water by hose and it gets neglected sometimes. And so spurge went crazy in it. And so one thing I've done is removed what I could carefully and I put grass seed down when I spread my grass seed out from the shed. I'm hoping that it will come back in and fill in the spring and kind of suppress it.
Yeah, you mentioned the planting of pansies when the caller was asking you questions. Is it still okay to plant bulbs? What bulbs are still
okay? Get your bulbs
to plant?
In. You can plant through November and be just fine.
Yeah, as long as the ground's just not frozen, right?
Correct.
Are there some bulbs that do better if you plant them now? I mean, all the spring bloomers have to be planted now.
They do. And you can probably find bulbs on clearance right now at Walmart, garden centers, Home Depot. And as long as you can dig, you can plant them.
Do you believe in putting down supplemental fertilizer when you plant bulbs?
No, they don't need it.
I see all these fertilizers on the shelves and I'm always wondering, like, I've never used a tomato fertilizer or a bulb fertilizer.
They're plants. If you have
marketing,
it's marketing. They have no idea. And if you are going to fertilize, just a little bit of lawn fertilizer, as long as it's not a weed and feed in the spring, will be just fine.
Can people still do things like aeration if they need to?
They can. It's getting a little late, but if you need to aerate your lawn, I would get it done.
Yeah, and those areas that have just been trampled, I actually thought about that with all the contractors walking across my backyard. There's kind of a path, and I'm thinking maybe I should just aerate there to give that grass
a bit of
a break.
If it's worn through the grass, I would rototill it and replant. If they haven't, then aerating heavily will be sufficient.
It's just thinner, Ton. Yeah. You know, after you walk around something with big construction boots for so long, things happen.
Yeah, and that path could be a problem for years and years if it's not fixed, but I would start with aeration.
Okay, start with aeration, and hopefully next year that'll kind of pop back up.
Yes, I've noticed leaves are dropping, and we get a lot of questions on if they can just be mowed in. There's been a lot of articles from misinformed do-gooders saying leave the leaves all over your grass. Don't, because you'll kill your grass. It'll smother your grass out if you leave them.
Okay, a couple of questions here. Can you store new tulip bulbs until next year?
No, you can't. They need to be planted.
The listener missed the answer about the Wellspire spruce. They had somebody said that they should just top it. And your answer was?
That's silly. Don't top your spruce.
It's not going to help it. It's not going to do anything for it.
If anything, wrap it in the winter with burlap wrap like you see on Arborvitae to keep it from splitting out.
Okay. And if you would like to listen to the show, if you've missed the show this morning, or if you've ever missed it, or you need something to do, you need some gardening, you need just to get that extra fill of your gardening for the week, KSLpodcast.com. You can find each episode of the KSL Greenhouse there. They are up on Apple, but one of our listeners telling us that the new episodes haven't posted in the last few weeks. I'm not sure why that would be, because that usually happens automatically when we post the podcast.
You should be able to listen directly from the KSL app if they are not populating on Apple. But we'll have to look into why they're not.
Okay, 10 seconds. Can they trim their nine bark now?
No, wait for spring.
Okay, have a great weekend, and thank you so much for listening to the KSL Greenhouse Show.